Overnight, Bellamite nationalist clubs appeared across the country dedicated to the nationalization of industry and the promotion of the brotherhood of humanity. Nationalism in America, as in most of Europe, meant both nationalism and socialism. Thus, Bellamy predicted that individual U.S. states would have to be abolished because state governments would have interfered with the control and discipline of the industrial army. Religion was the glue that held this American national socialism together. Bellamy believed that his brand of socialist nationalism was the true application of Jesus' teachings. His cousin, Francis Bellamy, the author of the Pledge of Allegiance, was similarly devoted. A founding member of the First Nationalist Club of Boston and co-founder of the Society of Christian Socialists, Francis wrote a sermon, Jesus the Socialist, that electrified parishes across the country. In an expression of his military socialism, the Pledge of Allegiance was accompanied by a fascist or Roman salute to the flag in American public schools. Indeed, some contend that the Nazis got the idea for their salute from America. Everywhere one looked, scientific utopianism, nationalism, socialism, and Christianity blended into one another. Consider the 1912 Progressive Party Convention. The New York Times described it as a convention of fanatics, at which political speeches were punctuated by the singing of hymns and shouts of amen. It was not a convention at all. It was an assemblage of religious enthusiasts, the Times reported. It was such a convention as Peter the Hermit held. It was a Methodist camp meeting done over into political terms. The expression on every face in the audience, including that of Jane Addams, who rose to nominate Teddy Roosevelt for his quixotic last bid for the presidency, was one of fanatical and religious enthusiasm. The delegates, who believed, obviously and certainly believed, that they were enlisted in a contest with the powers of darkness, sang, "We will follow Jesus," but with the name Roosevelt replacing the now outdated Savior. Among them were representatives of every branch of progressivism, including the social gospeler Washington Gladden, happily replacing the old Christian Savior with the new Americanist one. Roosevelt told the rapturous audience, "Our cause is based on the eternal principles of righteousness. We stand at Armageddon and we battle for the Lord." The American social gospel and Christian sociology movements essentially sought to bend Christianity to the progressive social agenda. Senator Albert Beveridge, the progressive Republican from Indiana, who chaired the 1912 convention, summed up the progressive attitude well when he declared, "God has marked us as his chosen people, henceforth to lead in the regeneration of the world." Walter Rauschenbusch offers the best short explanation of the social gospel for our purposes. A professor at the Rochester Theological Seminary and a one-time preacher on the outskirts of New York's Hell's Kitchen, the slender clergyman with the thin goatee had become the informal leader of the movement when he published Christianity and the Social Crisis in 1907.